Welcome in to Armchair Sports, Oregon Sports News. This is your co-host, Garrett Thornton. I'm sitting in for Casey tonight. Night one of the NFL draft, one of the most exciting nights of the year. Every team in the league is undefeated. Every team in the league has hope for the future. We see all of these young college athletes making their dreams come true. It was an exciting night all the way from round pick one to pick 32. We're going to go over it briefly tonight. This is going to be a quick podcast, probably 20 to 30 minutes. We're going to cover all the highlights. We're going to talk about the trades. We're going to talk about who was picked where. There was a lot of excitement that went into tonight. And to just think there's six more rounds of this. Over 200 more players are going to fulfill their dreams. They're going to get drafted into the NFL. And it's an exciting time of year. The draft started out. Everyone knew who the number one pick was going to be. The Cleveland Browns held the number one pick for one reason. They were absolutely dreadful last year. The Cleveland Browns came in to today. People were questioning, is it going to be Myles Garrett? Is it going to be Mitchell Trubisky? The Browns only had one choice. The best player on the board was Myles Garrett. The Browns have gotten into the position that they're in by overthinking it. They've overthought the Johnny Manziel pick, the Justin Gilbert pick. They've overthought so many picks in the last few years. They've just got to keep it simple, and that's what they did. Number one pick out of the gate was Myles Garrett, but that's when the fun began. The 49ers were on the clock with the number two pick, and what happened from there was craziness. The Bears were the number three pick. Everyone had the 49ers going safe and picking a defensive player, probably Solomon Thomas. So the phone rang one way or the other. The Bears traded up from the number three pick. So they traded the San Francisco 49ers. They gave them the number three pick, the number 67 pick, the number 111 pick, and their third round pick next year. So that's probably going to land in the 65 to 80 range. So they gave up the third, 67th, 111th, and next year's third round pick for the second overall pick to move up one pick and to draft Mitchell Trubisky. And Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina, he's a good quarterback. I don't have a big knock against him, but he's started 13 games in his collegiate career. 13 starts, and they're drafting him with the number two pick. To complicate the issue further, this year, this summer, the Chicago Bears gave Mike Glennon a $45 million contract to come in and be their quarterback. Now, I know the wording of the contract is a little confusing and that they could get out of that Glennon contract in a year. But it's just so bizarre to me that you give $45 million to a quarterback, you mortgage four draft picks, good draft picks, to move up one spot to draft a quarterback that's unproven. Now, I know you don't win without taking risks, and I know you don't win in the NFL without a quality franchise quarterback, but what the Chicago Bears did tonight was kind of crazy to me. But we'll see how it works out. We'll see once fall comes around. The Bears need a quarterback. They've been meddling in that mediocrity for years with Jay Cutler under center. Mike Glennon, they were hopeful that would be a step up. Now, Mitchell Trubisky, does he infuse a little bit more hope in this Bears organization moving forward? We're going to see. So then the third pick, after the 49ers, John Lynch, brand new GM in San Francisco, made this big trade to move down one spot. And who did they end up with? Solomon Thomas from Stanford. The guy that they were going to end up with the whole time, even if they stayed at number two. He's a defensive end that can bump inside to the defensive tackle position. 6'3", 273 pounds. He's a smart kid from Stanford. Stays in the Bay Area, goes to the 49ers. It's a great fit. The question with the 49ers is, what are they going to do with all that first round talent defensive line? They've got Eric Armstead. They've got DeForest Buckner. They've got Solomon Thomas. They're going to have to mix and match these guys inside, outside, pass rushers. They're going to have to do some work here, but it's a new regime. It's a new coach. It's a new general manager. Don't be surprised if Eric Armstead or DeForest Buckner are shipped out and they're going to build around Solomon Thomas. He's a quality player who's going to make a lot of difference in the league. Moving on to the Jaguars, they drafted Leonard Fournette, which wasn't really that big of a surprise. Blake Bortles is on his last leg in Jacksonville. If he can't make it work with a running back like Leonard Fournette wide receiving core of Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, I really don't know that Blake Bortles is cut out for the NFL. This is his last year under contract. They're going to see what they got in Blake Bortles when they put a running back like Leonard Fournette next to him. There was no real big surprise at the fourth pick, but the fifth pick, the Tennessee Titans went with Corey Davis, wide receiver from Western Michigan. Now, Corey Davis had been rumored to the Tennessee Titans, but with the 18th pick that the Titans held, not with the fifth pick. I'm not saying it's a terrible pick. I absolutely believe that Oregon Duck Marcus Mariota needs some weapons. He needs some receivers to throw the ball to, and Corey Davis could be a number one receiver in this league. But when you studied this draft, when you got ready for this draft, everyone said it's going to be defense, defense, defense early. There's so much talent defensively. And then in the top 10, 7 of the 10 were offensive picks, and Corey Davis was really just the epitome of that top 10. Just a quality offensive player, but not someone that people thought was going to be the number 5 pick. He's got some ankle injuries. We're going to see what happens moving forward. The Jets then took probably the best player available at that point with a 6th pick in Jamal Adams. He's a quality safety. He can do a little bit of everything. His instincts playing in the box as a safety are incredible. He's a great tackler. He's going to be a great strong safety in that Jets system. He was a great pick. He comes from LSU. And then the next pick, the Chargers, another wide receiver. So the 5th pick, the 7th pick, wide receivers. Mike Williams from Clemson. I think he's going to be a great wide receiver. 6'4", 218, gives Phillip Rivers an automatic number one target if Keenan Allen can't stay healthy. That's the caveat here. Keenan Allen's the number one target. Mike Williams can have some time to develop next to Keenan Allen with Melvin Gordon in the backfield, with Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates at tight end. But Mike Williams might be thrust into the spotlight if Keenan Allen were to get hurt again. We've obviously seen that you can't trust Keenan Allen long term, so this is a smart move by the Chargers to go get a receiver. The 8th pick to the Carolina Panthers. This is another one that wasn't a big surprise. A lot of people talked about running back in this position, whether it be Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey. Well, it just so happened to be McCaffrey from Stanford. 5'11", 202 pounds. He can do it all. I've heard scouts say that Christian McCaffrey is the best route runner in this entire draft. He plays running back. They're going to get him the ball in a lot of ways. Jonathan Stewart's not done. Jonathan Stewart can still handle 10, 15 carries a game. The other 10 to 12 could go to Christian McCaffrey, along with 6 to 10 targets in the passing game. He's going to be a weapon. They're going to use him in the slot. They're going to use him in the backfield. They're going to use him in the read option with Cam Newton. And that's going to be a deadly, deadly offense. You think about Kelvin Benjamin on the outside, Greg Olsen on the inside. That offense is going to be really explosive if they can shore up that offensive line in the next few days of the draft. The next pick was another surprise, another wide receiver. Pick 5, pick 7, pick 9 to the Bengals, John Ross from Washington. I loved watching John Ross in college. He's explosive. He's the fastest guy in the NFL draft. 4.22 40-yard dash, unbelievable speed. But what his injury history tells us is not pretty. He's had 2 knee surgeries. He's had shoulder issues. He had microfracture surgery on his knee, which once you hear microfracture, you don't want to touch that player. I cover the NBA a lot. I cover the Portland Trailblazers. And when you hear about a basketball player getting microfracture surgery, they're at the tail end of their career. Now, I realize playing football is a little different. It's not the hard contact on a hardwood floor every single day, day in and day out. But it's still a concern. That's why people had John Ross falling to the end of the first, maybe the second round. But the Bengals take a chance. They're going to put John Ross out there with A.J. Green and give Andy Dalton these targets. He's an explosive receiver, and he's not one of those guys that's just fast. He's a good receiver that just so happens to be the fastest guy on the field. And so that's going to be an interesting fit come the fall. The Bengals have some explosive receivers. They're going to make some noise here in the fall. Then we had another pick. The Bills traded the Kansas City Chiefs the 10th pick. So they traded the 10th pick for the 27th pick, the 91st pick, and next year's first round pick from Kansas City. So they get two first-round picks and a third-round pick for Kansas City moving up 17 picks. And the Kansas City Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes, quarterback Texas Tech. Mahomes was kind of a polarizing figure leading up to the draft. He's talented. He's got a huge arm, but he's still pretty raw. Andy Reid must have seen something that he absolutely loved in Patrick Mahomes to give up three draft picks to move up and pick up Mahomes. He's going to sit behind Alex Smith, which is an ideal situation for Mahomes. He needs to develop. He needs another year or two of studying and working on his fundamentals, but he's in the perfect place to do that. That's a great offense for him. That's a great landing spot for Mahomes, and I think that's the case for Mahomes and another pick two down when Deshaun Watson was taken by the Houston Texans. They also traded up. They traded up with the Cleveland Browns, and the Houston Texans, they gave up the 25th pick and their 2018 first round pick for the 12th pick. So they didn't even have to give up a third round pick like the Chiefs did, only two positions ahead of them. And they moved up to the 12th pick and selected Deshaun Watson. Now, I love Deshaun Watson. I think he might be the best quarterback in this draft. He's a proven winner. He's a leader. He's got a great body of work in college. And Deshaun Watson in that Texans offense, he's going to compete for that starting job week one. Tom Savage is their starting quarterback on paper. Don't count on it. Deshaun Watson is going to go in there to play. And the weapons around him are ridiculous. DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Lamar Miller, that team is going to make some noise. And that's not even talking about J.J. Watt on defense. That team is going to be a favorite in their division, if not competing in the AFC. I mean, obviously in the AFC, you've got Oakland and New England and teams just on a different level. But the Texans, they're a very good roster that a week ago people were talking about, ooh, if the Texans could get Tony Romo, maybe they could compete in the NFC. Well, they got a very competent, very good quarterback here at number 12. We're going to see what he can develop into. And if he can have a Dak Prescott-type rookie season, the sky's the limit for the Houston Texans. I did skip the 11th pick. The New Orleans Saints took Marshawn Lattimore, Ohio State cornerback, with the 11th pick. He was expected to go a little higher than that. So I think the Saints in that situation, I think it was a best player available. And so I think they took Marshawn Lattimore. He fits a need, and he's a very good cornerback that can cover one-on-one down the field, and that'll be a great fit in New England. 13, the Arizona Cardinals. They had been rumored to want a quarterback to sit behind Carson Palmer to kind of groom for the next couple years. But with the top three quarterbacks off the board and the Cardinals unwilling to trade up, they picked a guy on their defense that I think is going to make an instant impact, Haason Reddick. He had been gaining momentum leading up to this draft. Every single week, it seemed like his stock bumped up a few positions. Haason Reddick will fit in great in that defense. He's going to be inside, outside. He's going to play linebacker. He might get up on the line and rush the passer. I know a lot of teams had him on their board as an outside defensive end rusher. So he's very versatile. He's 6'1", 237 pounds. Went to Temple in Philadelphia. It was really cool to see the crowd at the draft really receive Haason Reddick's pick at the 13th pick. That was a cool sight to see. Then you had the Philadelphia Eagles picking in the Viking slot with the Sam Bradford trade. They got this pick. And they went with Derek Barnett, defensive end, Tennessee. Derek Barnett broke Reggie White's sack record at Tennessee and then gets to go to Philadelphia where Reggie White made a name for himself. That's a really cool story. Derek Barnett, read up on him. He's a great player. He's a great individual, and I think that's a great fit for Derek Barnett. The Colts at 15, they were in a strange position. A lot of people said offensive line, but they'd be the first offensive lineman off the board. They had their pick, maybe a running back, maybe. But the Colts were sitting there at 15, and Malik Hooker, the safety from Ohio State, a free safety, play-over-the-top type safety, was sitting there, who a lot of people had as their second or third player on their board. The Colts ran their card in and brought Malik Hooker to Indianapolis. That is a fantastic fit for that defense. I keep preaching that Andrew Luck needs help. Andrew Luck needs offensive line help. Andrew Luck needs a running back. But Andrew Luck also needs a defense that can hold the opposing team under 35 points. And so Malik Hooker is going to be a leader on that defense. He's going to be a captain real quick, and that defense is going to be much better than they have been in the last few years. And so I think that the Colts have made great strides in free agency. Now they're moving into the draft, and that defense is leaps and bounds better right now than it was in December. 16, the Ravens took Marlon Humphrey. Marlon Humphrey from Alabama, cornerback. A lot of people thought that he'd go earlier, but just the way, like I said, the offensive run at the beginning of the draft, 7 out of the first 10 picks, it bumped some of these defensive talents down the board. And if you look at the draft board, in 15 picks, there's not a player from Alabama. There were supposed to be 4 or 5 Alabama players in the top 10. That's not how the board fell, and Marlon Humphrey's the first one off the board at 16. But he wasn't the only one for long, because at 17, Jonathan Allen, defensive end, went off the board to the Washington Redskins. And this is a pick that I'm extremely scared of. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, and I don't hide that. I wore a Cowboy hat as I watched the draft tonight. I spent a little extra time studying the draft. Shout out to the draft show by DallasCowboys.com. They do a great job. But as a Cowboys fan, I am not looking forward to seeing Jonathan Allen chase around Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott all year. They have to play the Redskins 2 times a year. And now we have to see Jonathan Allen, who a lot of people had as their 5th to 8th best player in the draft. They got him at 17. Yes, Allen has arthritis in his shoulders. He's got some shoulder issues. But he's going to be on the field week 1, and he's going to be a factor for that Redskin defense. Whether he's playing as a 3 technique, a 5 technique, or an outside defensive end, that's going to be an impressive pick for the Redskins, and we're going to look back at that pick as one of the best picks in the draft. O.J. Howard at 18, another Alabama player, tight end to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've got Cameron Brate at the other tight end spot. They've got Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson. They've got some questions at running back, but those can be addressed in the next couple days. There's still good running backs on the board, but this was a best player available type pick. It gives Jameis Winston another target, and that offense is going to be deadly. At 18, Adoree Jackson, cornerback, USC, went to the Tennessee Titans. He's a little bit small for his position, but he's fast, he's athletic, he can do a lot of things. He can return punts, he can return kicks, he can play offense, he can play defense, but he's really going to be a cornerback, probably a nickel cornerback, and we'll see how he is to start his rookie year. He's got some development to do, but I think that he's going to be a really good cornerback. A lot of people said that was the reach of the first round, but I think we're going to see in his rookie year how many ways he can contribute, how many times he touches the ball on offense, how many times he touches the ball on special teams, and we're going to see the impact that he has on that defense, which desperately needs cornerbacks. 20, Garrett Bowles went to the Denver Broncos, offensive tackle, the first offensive lineman off the board, and only one of 2 offensive linemen that went off the board in the first round, which was a little surprising. The Broncos needed offensive linemen. That offensive line has been really bad, and with young quarterbacks behind that line, they needed to improve. Garrett Bowles, it was a super cool scene at the draft. He got on the stage with his newborn son in his arm the whole time, wouldn't let him go. That's a great story. He got in a lot of trouble, went on a Mormon mission, came home, got his stuff together, played college football at Snow College, transferred to the University of Utah, and now he's a first-round draft pick in the NFL. Just one of those anything-can-happen, keep-fighting kind of stories, and it's one that this NFL draft, what's so special about this draft? Moving on, linebacker from Florida, Jared Davis, went to the Detroit Lions. That'll be a great fit. That defense needs as much help as it can get at this point. Pick 22 to the Miami Dolphins, Charles Harris, outside linebacker, defensive end from Missouri. A lot of people had him all over the first round, but I think 22 is about the right spot for Harris. Then the Giants at 23, with David Njoku on the board from Miami, the tight end. A lot of people thought this was an easy pick. But instead they went with the tight end from Ole Miss, Evan Engram. A lot of people don't think he's a tight end. A lot of people think he's a big slot receiver. So we're going to see how that fits, because the Giants have Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard, and Brandon Marshall. And now they bring in Evan Engram to play a slot receiver, tight end. all I know is Eli Manning has more weapons than probably anybody in the league. But can that offensive line hold up long enough to let Eli get the ball to those weapons? That's going to be the big question. And I think in the next six rounds of the draft, you're going to see the Giants address the offensive line probably two or three times. Then at pick 24, the Oakland Raiders, they did a very Oakland Raider type thing. They drafted the guy that's under an open investigation for rape. They drafted Gerrion Conley, Ohio State. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe the hype or not, these are the types of incidents that have dropped guys off of draft boards in the last few years. Think about what happened to, I'm blanking the name. He plays, Lyle Collins. Lyle Collins, he was under investigation. It didn't end up being true, but Lyle Collins went undrafted, was signed by the Dallas Cowboys. Then you had Laremy Tunsil. The video came out of him smoking weed last draft. He fell 10, 15 positions. Gerrion Conley, a lot of teams took him off their board completely because they didn't have enough information. Well, the Raiders must have had enough information. The rumor is that Gerrion Conley took a lie detector test and passed. But he's a great corner. You just hope for the Raiders' sake that nothing doesn't come up to bite him, that nothing catches up with him in the next few weeks as this investigation progresses. And then at 25, the Cleveland Browns traded up once again to pick 25. Oh, 25 is where they traded down from 12. That's right. And Jabril Peppers was their pick, safety out of Michigan. Peppers was one of the most polarizing figures of this draft. It was you love him or you hate him, and a lot of people were pretty low on Peppers leading up to the draft. They didn't know what position he'd play. They didn't know where he'd fit in the NFL, but he's an athlete, and that's what he told people. He's an athlete. He's willing to play whatever position. You look at guys like Tyrann Mathieu, like Deion Buchanan. There's guys that don't fit their position, and so I think Jabril Peppers is going to find a way in the league, and with the Browns, I think that that's a great spot for him. He's going to get playing time early and he's going to be relied on, and I think that's what Peppers needs. The Falcons traded up with the Seahawks. The Falcons gave the Seahawks, Atlanta Falcons traded pick 31 and 95 and 249 for the Seahawks 26 pick. So the Seahawks moved back five picks and picked up a third round pick and a seventh round pick along with the Falcons first round pick. So it's a good trade for the Seahawks. If they didn't like who was sitting there at 26, I think they should have drafted Cam Robinson or Forrest Lamp or Ryan Ramczyk, but they traded back and the Falcons went with Tack McKinley. He's got shoulder injuries, defensive end out of UCLA, but he's going to contribute to that defensive line, and across from Vic Beasley, that's a nasty combination. The Bills, they traded back when the Chiefs went up to take Patrick Mahomes, and the Bills took cornerback Tre'Davious White out of LSU. Tre'Davious White's a really rangy cornerback, and a lot of people had him pegged to go to the Cowboys at 28 or the Steelers at 30, and so the Bills really had to take him at 27 if that's the guy that they liked. And then moving on to my Cowboys. My Cowboys, defensive end or cornerback. It was the worst-kept secret in the draft. They needed one of those two positions, plain and simple. There was no argument there. One of those two positions, and the guy that they went with was Taco Charlton, defensive end out of Michigan. There's a lot of questions about Charlton in the 4-3 defense, whether he can really be a rush end in a 7 technique or coming from the outside on a passing situation. He's a little limited in his pass rush moves. He only started 1 year at Michigan, but he's got ideal size, 6'6", 277. Rob Marinelli's going to slim him down a little bit. I think they're going to work on his footwork and his speed, and I think he's going to be a good fit in that Dallas Cowboy defensive line. They have never, since DeMarcus Ware, they haven't really relied on one starter. They've relied on a rotation, and Rob Marinelli prefers that. I think Taco Charlton fits in that rotation immediately and will get some good playing time, and we're going to see what he can develop into. He only started at Michigan 1 year, but at Michigan he got better every single year, and that's the development that you're looking for from a guy that you want to plug and play. And the Cowboys at pick 28, they're not I mean, you can hope for an all-pro player. Look what they did in the fourth round last year with Dak Prescott and the sixth round with Anthony Brown. But Taco Charlton is a very good defensive end with the potential of developing and being a real, real contributor, an 8 to 10 sack a year kind of defensive end. The Browns then traded back into the first round. They traded with the Packers, and this is the trade that I wish that the Cowboys would have done. The Browns traded number 33 pick, which is the first pick in the third round, the second round, and the 108th pick, which is the first pick in the fourth round, to the Green Bay Packers for pick 29. They came in and they took David Njoku, tight end, Miami. And so what the Browns did in this draft was get extremely athletic and just put athletes all over the field. It started with Myles Garrett at defensive end, and then you look at Jabril Peppers at safety, outside linebacker, wherever he's going to fit, and then David Njoku at tight end. Those are three freakish athletes that have some development to do, that have some work to do, other than Myles Garrett, who realistically is an odds-on favorite for Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie, as Defensive Rookie of the Year, I mean. And David Njoku just fits what they're looking to do in Cleveland, which is get younger and more athletic, and he really fits that role. The Steelers at 30, they went with T.J. Watt, J.J. Watt's younger brother, outside linebacker from Wisconsin. I think that this is a great pick. I think T.J. Watt will be a guy that can contribute for this Steelers team that really needs pass rush. And if he can turn into half what his brother is, they got a good player at number 30, a great player at number 30. He's 6'4", 252 pounds. The Steelers are going to play him in that outside linebacker role in the 3-4. So he's going to have his hand in the dirt some. He's going to be standing some. And that I think that's a great fit for Watt and for the Steelers. The 49ers then traded into the number 31 pick from the Seahawks. The Seahawks traded out once again. And so the Seahawks got, for that, they got the number 34 pick and the 111th pick. So a second round pick and a fourth round pick to trade back out of the first round. And the 49ers traded up for Reuben Foster, linebacker, Alabama, a guy that a lot of people had on their top 10 boards. But Reuben Foster had a diluted drug test at the combine. He has shoulder issues. He plays with a reckless abandon that GMs think is going to get him hurt early in his career. But the 49ers took a chance on a guy late in the first round. And the 49ers, in my opinion, won the first round. They added Solomon Thomas. They added Reuben Foster. And the San Francisco 49ers added the 67th pick, the 111th pick, the 34th pick. No, they added the 67th pick, the 31st pick, Reuben Foster, Solomon Thomas, and a 2018 third round pick. And so John Lynch went in there. He's making things happen in San Francisco. I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast and that are fans of Oregon Sports News are Seahawks fans. So the Seahawks didn't draft in the first round, and the 49ers dominated the first round. The good thing for Seahawks fans, stay tuned. Tomorrow, Friday, the second and third rounds of the NFL draft, the Seahawks have 6 picks, 2 in the second round, 4 in the third round. That's going to be a great spot for the Seahawks to add talent and to round that roster out around the core that's already been built, that's been proven to be competitive in this league. Then the Saints, rounding out the first round, the Saints went with Ryan Ramczyk, offensive tackle, Wisconsin. A lot of people had Ramczyk as their best tackle on the board. So for the Saints to get him at 32 is huge. And if you remember, at 11, the Saints got Marshon Lattimore, who is the number one cornerback on the board. And so the Saints added a quality player on both sides of the ball in the first round. And so I think that they also had a very good first round. It's hard to determine who's a winner and who's a loser of the first round. These guys are so young, so unproven, that it's hard to say what they'll develop into. And once the season starts in September, we'll see how the depth charts shake out. In December, January, after the season, we'll be able to evaluate how these guys fit into that given offense, how they developed, how they look after a year of football. The great thing is there's six more rounds of NFL draft. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over who's available and what to look for, but as Seahawks fans in the Northwest, just know you've got six picks in the next two rounds, which is the next about 80 picks with compensatory picks, 80, 90 picks in the next two rounds, and you've got six of them. That's huge. That's a huge talent acquisition tool for the Seahawks. Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, one of the most trusted NFL draft scouts out there, he says his day two best players available, cornerback Quincy Wilson, running back Joe Mixon, offensive guard Forrest Lamp, offensive tackle Cam Robinson. I believe the Seahawks are going to target one of those two offensive linemen. They really need to add one of those guys. Running back Alvin Kamara, safety Buda Baker, cornerback Chidobe Awuzie, and cornerback Sidney Jones from Washington. Dane Brugler of CBS, his top five available are running back Dalvin Cook, offensive guard Forrest Lamp, defensive tackle Malik McDowell, linebacker Zach Cunningham, running back Curtis Samuel, and then Mike Clay of the NFL Network. He had Forrest Lamp, cornerback Kevin King, running back Dalvin Cook, defensive end Tyus Bowser, offensive tackle Cam Robinson, defensive lineman Malik McDowell. And so there's a lot of talent still on the board. All of those guys I listed from those three scouts, all of those guys could have been first-round talents. And so moving into the second round, there's first-round players available. There's week one NFL starters available. And so to see those guys available on day two, that's a huge thing for these teams that maybe didn't have the first round that they wanted. A few teams didn't pick in the first round: the LA Rams, the Minnesota Vikings, the New England Patriots, the Seattle Seahawks. They didn't pick in the first round. And so we'll see how the next six rounds lay out, but there's a lot of talent available. The NFL has this event every year that spans 3 days in the middle of the off season when people can't look away. It's an incredible marketing thing that the NFL's done, but it's also just such a time of hope for these teams. There's not a team that left the first round that made a pick today that's dejected, that feels like they lost. There's hope that so-and-so could be a great end rusher, that so-and-so could be the best cover cornerback in the league. And I just think that each of these teams has a little bit of hope today that's going in to the season a little better, and the next six rounds are going to be just as exciting. I just want to thank Casey for letting me come in and be the host tonight for the NFL draft special. I believe it was his wife's birthday, so happy birthday. Hope you guys had a great night. I know that I did. The NFL draft was exciting from the very beginning. Trades, unexpected picks, rumors all up and down the board, and I'm looking forward to Friday night and Saturday morning, rounds 2 through 7. I think that they're going to be just as exciting. It's going to be guys that are going to change franchises. Stay tuned to Oregon Sports News for continued coverage. Check out the OSN staff mock draft that we posted on Thursday. We hit on a few picks. We missed on a few picks, but that's how it happens. But it was a great opportunity. Eight of us writers got together and did the mock draft together. It was a lot of fun. That's the thing with the NFL draft. It's just so much fun. It's so much fun to watch these kids live out their dreams, getting drafted in the NFL. Watch some of the highlights from tonight. Watch Takaris McKinley's speech. Watch Garrett Bowles on stage with his son. Watch the Make-A-Wish Foundation kid announce the Ravens pick. Those were some exciting times during the first round tonight. Once again, thanks to Casey. Thanks, Aaron of Oregon Sports News, for letting us do this. Signing off, this is Garrett Thornton. Enjoy your evening, enjoy your weekend, and have a good time watching the NFL draft.